Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, February the 3rd, 2012. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on The Voice, KVOI, AM 1030. We're happy to be here entering our 9 months now with The Voice, into our 9th month. And people are always amazed when I tell them, this is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And if you doubt it, try listening to KVOI all the way up. Next time you drive up to Phoenix, our signal will be with you the whole way. Also want to say hello to our Voice Network partners in Douglas, Cochise County residents listening to us on 930 AM KAPR, and in Gila County up in Globe, Eastern Arizonans listen to the Buckmaster Show on KJAA AM 1240. We live stream the show at my website, buckmastershow.com, and at kvoi.com. If you miss a particular show, all of our programs are archived. We have 3 places where you can hear the program anytime, anywhere: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, we get things rolling with our Friday Focus interview featuring a Southern Arizona newsmaker. And today we welcome Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Joining me to question Mr. Huckleberry, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. And we always welcome you to join in the conversation. If you have a question or a comment, call us on our live line, 790-2040. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Sarah and Mr. Huckleberry, good to see both of you.
Good to be here, Bill. Thank you.
Chuck Huckleberry is with us, the man that Representative, State Representative Terry Proud, Republican of Tucson, calls a dictator whose authority must be restrained. Should I be nervous?
You better watch it, Bill.
Should I be nervous having Mr. Huckleberry live with me in studio here? My goodness.
Could be dangerous. Maybe I need one of those restraints.
And, of course, those comments were tied into this legislation that apparently is moving forward up in Phoenix that would give Marana, Oro Valley, and Sahorita together veto power over new borrowing for roads and other projects in Pima County. Mr. Huckleberry, if this passes, is it in effect the end of bonding in Pima County?
Yes, Bill. Basically the county won't be blackmailed by any particular community. What we have is a very effective 25-person bond advisory committee who performs a role that is unparalleled in the state and the West with regard to oversight. They do a great job, and they represent and balance the community interest very well. This is nothing more than a disguised piece of legislation sponsored by Marana and their quest to do whatever they can do to disrupt the region. I don't believe it really is supported by anybody else other than just the sponsors at the legislature and perhaps the state legislature, who I guess enjoys telling the Pima County and local governments what to do as opposed to actually solve the problems of the state.
And the Marana town attorney, Mr. Frank Cassidy, is quoted in Howard Fisher's story from Phoenix Today saying, the county, Pima County, has created a culture of intimidation.
Those are pretty strong words, and I don't think I intimidate a 25-member independent committee that basically I have to report to as well as the board. So I think it's just silly rhetoric. It's just more nonsense out of Marana, and it's unfortunate.
I wanted to ask Terry Proud, who is quoted in today's Capital Media Services story, as saying that, what did she say? Pima County is no stranger to corruption or something to that effect, and then cited Rio Nuevo. Just for point of clarification, Pima County and you specifically have nothing to do with Rio Nuevo, correct?
Never have had anything to do with Rio Nuevo, never want to have anything to do with Rio Nuevo. We're completely separate. When people make those comparisons, it's very unfortunate because they aren't factual. They don't know what they're doing. They're causing, more damage. And it's really irresponsible for a public official to say that.
I wanted to know, have you met Representative Proud?
No, I haven't. In fact, the chair of our bond advisory committee, once this legislation was introduced, invited the sponsor and all of the individuals who signed on the legislation to a bond advisory committee last Friday because they really wanted to try and educate the sponsors as to what the process is in Pima County and how it is so different. And in fact, it's more restrictive than even the legislation they've drafted because, you know, we've had more disclosure, more transparency, more accountability in this bond program than any bond program ever by any jurisdiction in the state of Arizona and probably the West.
Do you know if any of the people who were invited, and could you tell us specifically who those were if you know, if they have accepted or attended any of these meetings in the past?
No, they've never attended a meeting. We really never heard from them. We've invited them down, and I think they're going to get invited again. And they just seem to want to basically, you know, I think this type of legislation is done best in ignorant bliss, and maybe that's what its source is. It's really ill-informed and bad legislation.
And one more,
go ahead, Jared.
One more question. Did you realize you were so all-powerful and omnipotent?
Well, you know, I don't think the board who I work for would agree. I tend to be bossed around by them quite often.
I mean, I do wonder why the lawmakers who are so bent on pushing this sort of legislation don't run for County Board of Supervisors. I mean, if you are so just running free and doing whatever the heck you want out there, why don't they run for those offices and then fire you? Not that I'm saying people should fire you, but...
No, absolutely. I serve at the pleasure of the board, and if, in fact, there's that, you know, ability to change, and so they can do that, and maybe, you know, Terry Proud will run for the Board of Supervisors. I think she probably lives in District 1, and that would be fine. And so people who want to make change, particularly at the local level, and try and legislate it from Phoenix, they're doing a very poor job at trying to make, you know, local government accountable. They're just confusing matters and doing a disservice to their constituents.
It's 12:12 on the Buckmaster Show. Chuck Huckleberry is with us. Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star, if you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040. Mr. Huckleberry, let's put this in perspective. These three communities have what percentage of the total county population, and what about those people who are living in the unincorporated areas?
I think that's what's so silly about the legislation is that if you look at three communities, their aggregate population is probably 6 to 7%. Their assessed value is probably similar or less. And really the people that this bill disenfranchises is the people who live in the unincorporated area of Pima County. They make up 43% of the tax base. And so in retrospect, they're paying the lion's share of the bills when it comes to bonding. The city of Tucson that has 53% of the population is only 41% of the tax base. So 36% of the people who live in the unincorporated area of Pima County are completely and totally disenfranchised by this legislation, but they pay all the bills. So it's just shocking. It's really out of touch.
Do you think any of this is political payback for how outspoken you've been about the lawmakers, the legislation, the legislature's budget last year, which pushed so much of the cuts to balance the state budget back onto the county? I mean, you were not shy about pointing out that they were just funneling money one level down and the taxpayers still had to pay the same.
It could very well be. I am not shy about telling the truth, particularly when it comes to taking money from Pima County residents and balancing state budgets or operating state agencies, particularly when our streets and highways are literally falling apart, and it's largely because of those fund raids of the state legislature.
I just can't emphasize enough how big a deal this is, and that's why I want to stay on it a little longer, because we're talking about a potential here of no more bonding in Pima County, and Raytheon is looking at an expansion through a bond that's very, very important to the future economic development of this community.
Oh, absolutely. We lost a line of business in Raytheon to Huntsville, Alabama. They are our competitors. And what we did, and that was a wake-up call to this community that says we better pay attention to our region's single largest private employer, And if we don't, we could find that we lose more jobs to other communities. And so we have proposed, and the county and the Bond Advisory Committee was in the middle of deliberating, an economic development bond issue that really talks about protecting our major employers, to make sure our major employers are protected from encroachment and that they opt the opportunity to grow and prosper. And so this piece of legislation would kill that economic development bond issue. It would simply go away. And so what's at stake here is our prosperity, our economic future.
But that doesn't sound as good as saying that you're, you know, a despot or a dictator or whatever the word is. I guess, how do you talk to people who hear these sort of things just sort of in passing or read it in the paper or hear it on the radio and convey something as complicated as a bond advisory committee and the whole bonding process? I mean, it's quite complex. How do you get through the message of the simplistic message that it's all about you, the one guy, you need to be taken out, whatever?
Yeah, it's hard to do because it is a complex process. If it was easy, everyone would do it. But it requires a great deal of complicated movement of pieces of local government and property taxation and repayment structures. And we have bond attorneys and financial bond advisors. And so it's a very complex process. But in the end, it really comes down to how do you provide benefits to the community and how does the community express what they want. And they historically have expressed what they want when they go to the polls and they vote for bond issues. And so the question then has become, this is really an assault on the democratic process of what people get to choose about how they spend their money. Because if there's no future bond issue, then there's really not going to be, you know, government will save up tax revenues and then we'll spend the money the way we want to as opposed to the way the public tells us how to spend that money. So it's really kind of an assault on just the democratic principle of property taxation and what people get to choose and pick about what they want to spend their money on.
And this comes at a time when Mr. Huckleberry is about to launch, or perhaps has launched with the Board of Supervisors, an expansive economic development program to grow jobs, help small businesses, and revitalize tourism. And we will talk about that when we continue on the Buckmaster Show Friday edition with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry and Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. That's coming up on this Friday edition of Buckmaster.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Meg, I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock, for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than two dozen on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Well, 12:21 on the Buckmaster Show. Chuck Huckleberry is with us, Pima County Administrator. And before we get back to our topic here about jobs, job development, what's going on with Pima County and bonding, I have to ask you folks that were listening to the show yesterday, listening to the mayor of Marana, Mayor Ed Honey. We're talking about the now that Marana, the town, is running the sewage treatment plant there. He says that Pima County had missed, the wiring was all screwed up over there at the plant, and that they had to spend a lot of time rewiring a lot of the sewage treatment plant.
Well, that's kind of a bizarre statement because the plant worked just fine when we turned it over to them. Maybe they had the manuals upside down, so I can't answer that one. It's just something that's just so silly it can't be answered.
Well, this is certainly not silly, and we're talking about job development, and it's something that you have proposed now, a pretty expansive plan. What's at the heart of this plan? Did you present this to the board?
We did, Bill. We did is we presented it in concept, because what we really want now is a lot of public comment on it. We sent it out to probably 50 to 60 different agencies and or those involved in economic development. Because it contains something like 39 different recommendations. And what we really did is we decided some time ago, and the board directed that we take a very comprehensive look at economic development and how we produce and protect jobs in Pima County. And they said it's time we basically do something different than we've done in the past. We've kind of weathered the downturn in the local economy. We've weathered the state cost shifts. And so we really need to refocus our efforts on economic development and jobs. And so that's what it really is. It really talks about what the county has done in the past and what we'll continue to do. But it also talks about taking some new approaches and new approaches at protecting our major employers. Creating and taking advantage of what we call, what we believe is a coming boom in the air and space industry, and dealing with and leveraging the intellectual capacity of the University of Arizona in
bioscience.
Biosciences, when you think about Ventana and Roche, that came out of a university incubator intellectual spinoff. And so we know for every one of those, there's one in solar, there's one in optics, there's one in some other area. And these are typically very high-paying jobs and very low-cost impacts on the community as far as resource consumption. And so those are the kind of new 21st century jobs we need to be growing here in this community.
Also with us today, Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star.
I wanted to touch, speaking of bonds, the mental health facility over at on Ajo at UPH. I'm sure I'm getting the name wrong because it keeps changing.
Yes, it does.
It does.
It's now University of Arizona Medical Center South Campus.
Well, okay. that is very catchy. I just wanted to – it's been open since August. How are things going? The voters passed two bonds to fund this, and it's was greatly anticipated, I know, among people who need mental health services with the urgent care and the ER. Could you just kind of give us an update on how things are going and how that is paying off?
Yes. In our view, it's been a great success. And we get testimonial kind of statements from people who use it, from family members, and from the law enforcement community who gets involved in the mental health issues as part of a peripheral issue associated with law enforcement. The Crisis Recovery Center has been up and operating and doing well, and it's really that intervention, really trying to figure out, keep people out of trouble before they get into further trouble with mental health issues and requiring hospitalization. And the other component is the psych hospital. Both are operating well. We have taken the typical turnaround time from a law, and we've really diverted a lot of the misdemeanor crimes that were actually occurring because of crisis behavioral health issues and away from the jail to this facility. And law enforcement, their turnaround time with somebody in custody who potentially possessed a symptom of mental illness was typically about 6 hours. And so it took them an entire shift to go through this process. Now they're in and out of the crisis recovery center in probably 15 to 30 minutes. And so we're getting law enforcement back on the street where they belong, and we're providing much better intervention services with regard to the mentally ill or those in some type of mental health or behavioral crisis. So it's been a tremendous success in the community. It's saving us money and the county and the taxpayers money because of the whole issue of how we're turning around the civil commitment process. It used to take quite a long time and quite costly hospitalization. That's been streamlined significantly over the last several years, where our costs have gone down from $8 to $10 million a year to now about $4 million a year, just because of this new, more holistic approach of how we deal with mental illness and crisis of behavioral health patients in the community.
And has that had a subsequent effect, I think you mentioned, on the jail population? Because I know for a long, long time, if there was nowhere else, no beds available in the mental health, behavioral health system, people who had gotten into some amount of trouble ended up in the jail.
Yes. Most of the misdemeanor charges are basically all about 80% behavioral health related. And so that population has been diverted away from the jail. So our jail population, the good news is it's down. And we hope to keep it down and keep it down permanently. And what helps is that these people get into a vicious cycle. And the cycle deals with medications, lack of medication, lack of funding. And this whole crisis intervention and much more closely following them keeps them out of that cycle either much longer or we hope permanently.
How's the transportation scene looking now and the relationship with RTA?
I think our RTA is doing a good job, frankly. They basically have come to the part of the five-year plan to where they're implemented what they said they're going to implement. We've gone through the shakedown period to find out what works and what doesn't work. And they're off doing, I think, a great job at building some transportation infrastructure in this community that's been needed so badly.
And because you're a transportation guy. I mean, your background is...
I grew up in transportation. And so I didn't grow up being an intimidator. I grew up being a transportation director.
You're the traffic jam.
I was a traffic cop, basically. And so I think, we're on the right direction. We desperately need the money to reinvest in the system. Where we're having our greatest problems is the RTA is providing the capital for expansion and new roads. We don't have the money to maintain what we have.
Yeah, and that's
so
a huge problem.
We really need to reinvest dramatically back in our existing local highway and street system.
Yeah, Priscilla was on Cornelia, your transportation director, was on the show a couple of weeks back. She says, the new roads, that's not so much a problem. It's this fixing the potholes on all
the roads that all of us live in? And
absolutely. And what we're going to do, and
live on.
And the board has kind of started to say we need to pay some attention here. We shouldn't basically let the legislature off the hook. We need them to give us our money back. But we need to have a strategy about how to reinvest in our local highways and streets.
It's going to wrap it up with Chuck Huckleberry on our Friday Focus. Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star, thank you very much. Sarah, stick around. We'll have you on our Reporters Roundtable coming up after the break. Mr. Huckleberry, thank you for being with us. And I you're not such a dangerous guy after all, I guess.
Well, that's good. I'm pleased, Bill. Thank you very much.
All right. Stay with us on the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. We will be back with our Reporters Roundtable. Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News will be joining us as well. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Today's employment report shows that the jobless rate has fallen to 8.3%. The economy added 243,000 jobs in January. Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney says that's not good enough. He says President Obama's policies have prevented a true economic recovery. It's been a guilty plea today in the abduction and killing of a 7-year-old Florida girl whose body was found in a landfill in 2009. Jared Harrell has pleaded guilty, sentenced to life in prison. Hundreds of flights have been canceled today at Denver's airport as a powerful winter storm delivers yet more snow to the region. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 145 points, the NASDAQ ahead 47, the S&P 18 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook. 12:34. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, the voice and our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas. Welcome back to the show. We present the Friday Reporters Roundtable each week at this time, featuring local journalists who join me to talk about the week's top stories. Joining us this week, Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah sticks around from our interview with Chuck Huckleberry, and joining me now in studio, Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. And we welcome you to join us at any time. 790-2040 is our live line number, and the Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. It is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Dan, good to see you.
Good afternoon.
You were in the control room with Rose listening to the interview with Chuck Huckleberry, and Mr. Huckleberry made a pretty dramatic statement, I think. He said, if this effort that is underway in Phoenix passes, it will be the end of bonding as we know it in Pima County.
That's a big statement. Don't know if it's accurate. Obviously, he knows what he's talking about, but I think there are a couple of other issues that were brought up in the story today out of Phoenix, and one is, what is his influence? Is this stuff so complicated that people are deferring to him when it comes through working through what should, go up for bonding and stuff? And is there something to this? And yeah, it's a political year. It's a lot of it's done for political reasons, but I think there might be something to some of the concerns that have been raised. I really do. So
it's worth looking into.
I think because, as you mentioned just a few minutes ago, this whole thing is really complicated. This the whole bonding process is very difficult. And when you put dozens and dozens of items on there, an advisory committee, even though they, of course, are supposed to know what they're doing, it's very difficult to work your way through this. It's a lot of pressure, and you do defer. And the question is, how much deference is going on here? How much are they looking to him for guidance? And it's worth, all I'm saying is, it's worth looking into.
It is, and I'm curious, do you think that the legislation as it's proposed is the way to address it?
No, I think the legislation is getting attention, and I think that's all it was designed for. Would it go anywhere? Probably not. Is it going to get people talking? Yes, and I think that was probably the goal.
Well, let's move on to the CD8, the special race coming up April 17th,
yes.
Sarah, is the special election. And it looks like now we can pretty much say on the Republican side, there will be three candidates. Jesse Kelly got into it today. Frank Antonori late last week, a week ago today. Dave Sitton jumping in yesterday. So the field's pretty much set on the Republican side.
Yes, it is, and it'll be very interesting leading up. We're in for a good, I don't know, four, six, 8 weeks. Leading up until April 17th, it is going to be a whale of a Republican primary, because you have Dave Sitton, who most people know as a sportscaster doing U of A games.
Athletics, yeah.
And I was saying before we went on air that people may recognize him more if he was able to deliver his campaign speeches as, like, you know, calling a game. But because you don't, I mean, that's not a knock on him. That's just, you don't always see the people doing the games, you know, as you're watching television. But then you have Jesse Kelly, who was very, very vocal and very aggressive and very in your face when he ran against Gabrielle Giffords last time. And then Frank Antonori, who's I can't imagine walking down the hall without finding something to complain about. And so they're two very similar personality types, and to watch them go after each other is going to be, just from a spectator point of view, pretty
entertaining.
And, of course, then on the Democrat side, we have Matt Hines, and he's the only one who has declared so far.
And Bill, I asked Frank Antonori directly, and then I asked Jesse Kelly's campaign manager, are they going to keep it civil? And of course, we knew what the answer would be, and that is yes. Frank did add on to that. However, we are going to raise the very the raging differences between me and my opponent. How he does that, I don't know. But I hope Sarah's wrong about it being really kind of a knockdown, drag out. But I think she's right on.
Well, I think I hope I'm wrong, too, in the sense that that's, you know, no way to run an election. But knowing the people
track,
who were...
Knowing track records.
Right. Knowing the people who were involved, just the personalities, I don't see how we can avoid it.
Absolutely, I agree.
How about the Democratic side? I keep hearing rumors that Ron Barber is taking a real serious look at this this race on the Democratic side. Perhaps maybe next week there'll be some kind of an announcement. If that were to happen, Sarah, Dr. Hines, Matt Hines, has said that I think he would bow out of the special election and concentrate on the fall election.
Right. I mean, there is, I think Steve Kozachik actually had been talking about that from the Tucson City Council, just about the idea of put in a placeholder in the to fill out the remainder of the term for the couple months until the November election, and then make that the focus, because if Gabby Giffords had, you know, remained in Congress, she was up for re-election anyway in November. So I haven't heard that Ron Barber is going to do that. I think if he chose to and his family was behind him, I don't see how he could lose in a situation like that as sort of a placeholder. But also, I mean, he has health situations going on. He has a lot on his plate as it is with his fund and the different community work that he does. So while I think there are many people who would like to see him do that, I don't know if he actually will.
Yeah, and I've been surprised to hear his name come up for the exact reason that Sarah brought up, and that is he does have some health issues of his own, and he is in the same boat that Gabrielle Giffords was. And I think if this had been her plan, that he goes in and fulfills the term, we would have heard from him by now. And so I don't think it is. I would be surprised if he jumps in. And for his sake, frankly, I hope he doesn't.
I agree with that.
12:40 on the Buckmaster Show, and we are on the Friday Reporters Roundtable. Whenever we have Dan Scheer with us from Green Valley, it's our chance to kind of catch up what's going on down there. And I see that safe driving campaign on Interstate 19 has gone away very quietly.
Right. Last July, the DPS launched something called Operation Guardian Angel, and we had so many fatal accidents on I-19, and it really seemed to be working. There were 12 fatal accidents in 2011 on Interstate 19, but only three of them have come since July. And so their stepped-up efforts really worked. Then we find out, as of January 11th, the whole thing went away. And what they're telling us is it was manpower issues, and that their manpower is at basically the same level as it was in the 1980s, and they had to pull people from this, but they are continuing to, quote, look at it, which means, of course, it's never going to come back. So it's too bad that a program that worked is being scaled back, although we do understand that they are under some constraints.
You had some big news at the newspaper.
Yeah, as of Wednesday, the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, we have a paid website. Just like you would pay for your print edition of your paper, you would pay now to go online. If you are a print subscriber, it's free. But for years, newspapers have been giving it away. And now small and large papers are looking at paid websites, and you're going to have to change this whole culture that people go online and expect something for free. And there are still free components to it, you know, breaking news and calendars and obituaries and things like that. But what we do has value. And as more and more people are reading their news online, we need that money so we can continue to serve the community through reporting.
And what was the reaction among your subscribers?
Thus far, we've actually picked up subscriptions.
Really?
And, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Which is and the questions that have been coming in from phone calls have been actually very thoughtful. They want to know a little bit more about why we're doing it. Really, we haven't been getting the belly aching that we thought. Maybe that's to come. Right now, if you sign on, you get 15 free page views per 30-day period, and maybe when people hit 16, we're going to be getting a lot more phone calls. But that's the way it is now. And as I said, a lot of small newspapers, even much smaller than ours, are really at least testing the waters in this, because this is just something we need to do as we march into the future.
Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star with me on the Friday Reporters Roundtable. Sarah, is there never an end to the bad publicity that comes out of downtown Tucson and the city? Now we're hearing about equipment failing.
I know.
All throughout the city's five garages. What is this about?
As if people had bad thoughts about trying to park downtown anyway. Now you might not even be able to get out of the darn parking garage. of course, you have to call someone and they'll come and let you out. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be a case of the city from Rhonda Bodfield's reporting, which was in the Star yesterday, I believe. It's a case of the city not having workers who knew the system well enough, made some changes, and then the contractor who is in charge of it isn't doing maintenance so much as I'll just decide if I'm going to show up when a repair needs to be made. And he's in Phoenix, and so that's, of course, a distance, and no one wants to drive that. So it seems to be kind of a screw-up all the way around. And, of course, as always, it's the people who are trying to use the garage, trying to pay their bill, trying to get out of the garage, who end up having to deal with the hassle.
Dan, I won't even ask you about that, since you don't have to worry about coming up here to park in City Garage.
As little as possible. Yeah, little as possible we come up here.
12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. This situation with House Speaker Andy Tobin perhaps calling for a special election that would cost, I don't know, $7 or $8 million to do a special election.
Something along those lines.
To look at, I guess, how the state's redistricting lines would be drawn. I mean, is this going to happen?
Boy, I sure hope not. This really came out of nowhere, and I've heard grumblings because every 10 years you do hear grumblings about this, and that's just normal, but I haven't heard it to the point that people felt like something like this was necessary, and I sure hope it goes absolutely nowhere. Let's get the maps okayed and live with them, and so we can go into the November election knowing exactly where we stand, where we live, who's going to represent us, and not have to put this in limbo for another couple of years.
And there's so much confusion, Sarah, already about what district folks are in. Now to have to have a special election, it just seems crazy.
It does. And I think it goes back to people want the maps that they want. And that is not necessarily the map that is the best equitable map. And I know that I personally don't have the time in my day or my life to sit and do all the calculations and all the drawings and all that you need to do to figure out how to equitably divide up the state into legislative districts. I am confident in the committee that we have. The voters approved this system. It doesn't make any sense to me to try to send it back to the voters to pick from a bunch of maps that honestly, we don't have enough information to judge accurately. So I hope that this goes nowhere. I think let the maps, like Dan said, play out as they will, because we need to get it settled before November.
Right. The only thing I would throw in there is that the Independent Redistricting Commission does need to be bigger, more than five members. We do need to look at that next time around.
State Senator Linda Lopez was with us on the Buckmaster Show a couple of days ago, and she was talking about – this is actually the same thing that Democrats complained about the last session, that they are not getting heard at the, the legislative session.
Right.
And this thing about cutting off public testimony during Senate hearings.
Yeah, it's an insult.
Why?
To every person who lives in
Isn't
Arizona.
Isn't this supposed to be an open process?
Well, you'd think so, but evidently if you don't want to hear what people have to say, then you can, and you're in charge, you can just say, I'm done, I don't need to hear you. The point, I mean, I do understand why some lawmakers and elected officials at all levels might get tired of hearing from the same people or hearing the same points over and over. But I'm sorry, that is a function of the way our political system works. And every person should have the ability to go before their elected officials and speak their mind, especially on something as important as the budget. Just limiting it to, I think, was it department heads or agency heads is not the answer, because those aren't the people who use the services. And they don't hear – I mean, time and time again, you hear of people who are in charge of organizations or companies who are just surprised that things aren't going right on the ground. So you need that user input. You need the words of the people who actually deal with these things. And it's just wrong for lawmakers to try to block that.
You know, to me, it just confirms what we always have known, and that is a lot of public officials out there think that the public really doesn't have any intelligent input into a lot of this, or good ideas, and they're simply wrong.
And I want to put a plug in, Dan, for your area, Tubac, the Festival of the Arts.
They've That's right.
53 years?
53 years, longest running festival of its kind in the Southwest. And it starts Wednesday, 5 days, 175 artists. It's a nationally recognized festival. And Tubac loves it because it gives him a lot of exposure. And I'll tell you what, I'm a festival kind of guy, and this is one of the best.
12:49 on the Buckmaster Show, and that's going to wrap up our Friday Reporters Roundtable. I want to thank Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, editorial writer, for being with us today. Sarah and Dan, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You too.
All right, Matt Russell is going to be coming up about tell us what's going on, good places to have a good meal this weekend. Stay with us.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives. Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
And when you hear that music on the Buckmaster Show, you know it is time to rock and roll out by the pool. It's time to have a great weekend. And joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, the man we have dubbed the Culinary Cruiser, award-winning public communications guy, Matt Russell, who today to the office wore a kind of a funny T-shirt, I understand. It said, "I am a foodie. Follow me to a good meal and a good time."
You absolutely got it right this time. You know, and let me just say, that music is perfect. I wish I could hear that music on Thursdays now, just to give myself a quick start to the weekend. But, I am happy to work for food. You know, that's why I'm here, Bill.
We can somehow get you that music to get you all pumped up before one of your sales sales presentations there at Russell Public Communication. It's good weekend lining up. Friday, people think about happy hour probably more than any other day of the week.
Yeah, and we're just a couple hours away from my pick of the week. The happy hour pick today is at La Fuente over at 1749 North Oracle. They have a great traditional Mexican happy hour, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., 25% off all appetizers, and great deals on their delicious margaritas. Now, Bill, I don't know if you remember, one of the La Fuente margaritas took home the Judge's Choice Award at last year's World Margarita Championship. This is a great place to go for some delicious margaritas, some great Mexican appetizers, and, of course, the live mariachis start shortly thereafter. La Fuente tonight for happy hour. I can't wait.
But you doing the margarita IV is a little bit... is carrying it a little too far.
That's right. Just sit me in a corner, start the IV with a little tequila, I'll be fine.
Matt Russell is with us on Weekend Watch every Friday at this time. And moving to Saturday, in the mood for a little Asian cuisine.
Yeah, we're going to transport you tonight from Mexico, happy hour, all the way to China. Saturday, starting at 11 o'clock in the morning, all the way up till 3 o'clock, at the Tucson Cultural Chinese Center over there on River Road. They're going to host the annual Taste of China. Now, Bill, they're going to have 2,000 people coming out for this annual event, and there's going to be Chinese music and dancing, even martial arts demonstrations. But, of course, the food has to be the anchor for this event to get me excited about it. And I understand they're going to have nearly every major region of China represented in the cuisine at this event, Cantonese, Szechuan-style Chinese food. This is going to be the place to be for Asian culinary enthusiasts Saturday from 11 to 3.
Well, that means you will be waking up without having any breakfast tomorrow, and so you are ready to go from 11 to 3 and sample probably a little bit from every region. I don't know how many provinces or regions there are of China, but I think you'll probably want to sample a little bit of each.
Absolutely. I did you just suggest that I was going to skip a meal tomorrow, Bill? There must be some misunderstanding,
yeah,
sir.
Especially since it's Saturday and that's pancake breakfast at the Russell House tomorrow. You'll be flipping those pancakes. Super Bowl coming up, of course, Sunday afternoon.
Big day for foodies. You know, if you don't want to have people trash your house again this year on Super Bowl Sunday, take the show on the road to, I think, one of the many local establishments hosting football parties on Sunday. My pick for this Super Bowl year, Bill, is the big game party at Casino del Sol. That glorious event center down there is going to host an all-out bash with the game broadcast on all their big screens. And, of course, we'll be taking advantage of the tailgate buffet. Ooh. While we're down there. And I ask you, Bill, who does a better buffet than the Casino del Sol? It all starts at 3:30 on Sunday at Casino del Sol on West Valencia Road. I'm ready. Now, let me just ask you, while we're on the air together, live, no net, impromptu, You going to go for the Giants or the Patriots?
Going for the New York Giants.
Oh, and we were getting along so well up until now. Oh, my goodness. I hate to call you un-American.
I know. You being a big Redskins fan, I know how that goes.
Yeah, we don't like the Giants much, so we're behind the Patriots all the way.
Have a great weekend, Matt.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. And of course, it's tax season. Drop by, see Michael C. Flowers, our CPA, at 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, it's Rosemary Brandt, our producer, and me, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. We will see you back here live on Monday, noon to 1, on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. Have a great weekend.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas, and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.